Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The guys with fewer passing yards. But to that I will say, a bunch of yards have come back because of penalties, which are not Fields' fault. And I also think it's just a byproduct of their philosophy in these games. Like, they don't want him to throw for a lot of passing yards. And hey, like, you don't clip the wings of an incredible bird like a bald eagle or something like that. Like, you're doing it because you do think he's somewhat damaged and needs some repairs and everything else to take place before he takes flight again. But if the numbers were that bad and they needed to move the ball through the air to win these games, I would want to criticize him, or I would be more pessimistic about his odds of being a good quarterback.
Right now you're playing a guessing game. Yeah, you're wondering if there's more out there.
Allegedly or purportedly, he only has one more game left before Wilson is going to be ready to play, and that's 2 weeks in Indianapolis. If the Indianapolis game, if Russell Wilson got a clean bill of health today from Steelers doctors, I would still want Fields to start this game coming up. I would not bench him off of these two games,
Chris. I need to see growth, though. I thought he was a little better, and I guess you can say he definitely grew in this game because it's not his fault Broderick Jones held. He threw a laser beam. It's not his fault that the officials made a questionable OPI call. Like, if they win even 20-6 or something like that, it looks a lot better than 13-6, in my opinion. I thought Harris, though, kind of not, he didn't speak exactly what I'm feeling, but he was like, they went single hot. Like, part of the reason they couldn't run the ball in the second half was because the Broncos just played one safety up high and dared them to beat them through the air, and Fields really couldn't do it. You do have to, if you're presented with that look. At some point, you're going to have to start hitting guys, whether it's Freiermuth or Pickens,
but when you're
or even
third,
like a third
but when
option.
You're in third and long, and you don't think Denver can move the ball and score touchdowns on you.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about third and longs. At that point, like, you are just trying to get to punt, you know, get to punt formation with more time coming off the clock. I'm talking about on, like, first and second down when they're just saying, here are eight guys in the box. We are not going to let you line up and run the ball at us. They have to be, and he has to be better at making teams pay, or eventually this will grind to a halt. That is how I feel about it.
So that is that your way of saying you would still go back to Wilson as soon as he's healthy?
I think a lot depends on how this looks for them in the home opener.
But what if you had to make a decision on it today?
Oof. Man.
You're vacillating on this.
I know, because
badly.
I know, because it's tough, because he's played about exactly like the level that I would say makes it tough. I'd probably stay with him because they're 2-0. But man, I wouldn't. It's like 51-49%.
Donnie, is it that tough of a decision for you?
No, I wouldn't say it's quite that, because I said last week after that game, I think it is now his job to lose. And I don't think we've hit that point yet where I don't think yesterday was, oh, he played so poorly, he can't be in. Because, again, the no turnovers thing, we know how big that is for the guy making those decisions. The guy pulling those strings, he'd rather the guy not turn the football over and they win a game like yesterday than they win the game like, I don't know, 27-24, but the quarterback has three interceptions that lead to two short fields for Denver. Or even 27-20, I don't know, whatever you want the score to be. He would prefer a final outcome like yesterday if Justin Fields kept the football clean. And again, just one snafu, which I think that may have more so have been on Frazier that time. He just snapped the football early. He kept it clean again.
What happens if they fall down 7-0 to the Chargers? Or like 10-0? Maybe it's not even the defense's fault. What happens if they actually kick the ball in play and just, boom, kick, return, touchdown, you're down 7-0? Then maybe they go 3-and-out, Harbaugh grinds out a field goal drive, and like minute to go in the first quarter, they're down 10-0. Then what in this game? What do we see?
I don't think they're going to abandon what they believe in.
What if they're down 10-0 at the half? What if it's 13-3 at the half? Their defense has actually given up a little bit in the way of points.
I still don't think they're going to change.
Then that's on Mike. Then that's Mike. This is how he wants it to be, which is the exact same thing we have said since the day Roethlisberger retired and it became Mitch Trubisky's job and then Kenny's
that's
job.
That's exactly what Belichick said on Inside the NFL.
Mike Tomlin's game plan's the same every week. Doesn't matter who the quarterback was or what year it is. Play good defense, turn the ball over, you know, try to get the running game going, but play good field position, make them drive it against that defense, don't give up many points, and win. I won't say win ugly, but win.
That he should have put a parenthetical in. Mike Tomlin's got the same game plan every week, and that's why I loved playing him, because he was very easy for me to beat. He also could have just been describing Bill Cowher there. My problem, of course, with that is that Bill Cowher was coaching 20 to 30 years ago when that was we just had a game on in the back. We just had one, the old Chargers-Steelers game in, what, Ben's second year, I think? They win 24-22. Madden's talking about 92-1-1 whenever they've had at any point like a 10-point lead in a game.
Oh, he was so good in those leads, Cowher. They'd give the ball to Bettis and just salt that game away.
Well, he was good going back in the 90s before he even had Bettis. He was good at that. But, like, it's not that NFL anymore. By the way, speaking of blowing leads, John Harbaugh has now blown, I believe, 11 leads in the last 5 years in the fourth quarter, Donnie, when they have been leading by seven or more in the fourth. 11 times they've lost those games in Baltimore.
Here is Nate on the fan. Hello, Nate.
Hi, guys. Hey. Watching the offense yesterday, I noticed that the tight ends need to get involved a little bit more. I'd like to see Pat Freiermuth involved a little bit more. I just want to see our offense find our identity before we get to the Bengals. And
I mean, Pat did have the most targets of any player on the team, tied with Pickens.
And Washington caught a touchdown pass.
Hey, I just want to keep finding our identity before that big stretch of the second half of the season. But should we find a second option? Do you guys feel like that's needed at the receiver position?
Yes.
Or is Van Jefferson still good?
Yes, no, Van Jefferson stinks. Yes, they need to find a second one, and maybe one of these woebegone teams will trade a wide receiver between now and the deadline.
The Panthers look like they are in full rebuild mode, and man, maybe Deontay Johnson just gets welcomed back with open arms.
I think there's a better chance of, who's a Johnson from the Steelers past? Norm Johnson.
How about Howard Johnson?
Comes back for
Mets them third baseman.
Before Deontay. Here is Emmanuel on the fan. Hello, Emmanuel.
Thanks for taking my calls. I'm kind of torn about how I feel about this offense. After week one, I kind of felt like how we felt after the Bengals game when we fired Matt Canada. I was cautiously optimistic. But after seeing the game yesterday, the tale of two halves, and like we were all agreeing that they were coaching not to lose. So what is up with the ideology of them not living in their fears? Why are we coaching not to lose?
Well, because we know that that's BS, but I think the strategy was the right one yesterday. The only way they were going to lose that game is if their offense allowed for the Denver Broncos defense to score points. That was the only way they were going to lose.
Special teams, that could have happened.
More special teams?
Yeah, in a one-score ball game. It was a little too helter-skelter. Well,
it wasn't a one-score ball game till there was less than 2 minutes left.
That's because of their coaching staff. So I feel like we have the potential to be better offensively just on the potential of Justin Fields. But
Would you go back to Russell Wilson when he's healthy?
As of right now, yes. I kind of want to see what he has. I think we wouldn't be coaching as conservative with Russell Wilson. I think the whole
appeal of him was that he was very conservative.
Yes, completely disagree with that. I think they would have tried to play. I mean, they wouldn't have had the quarterback running as much. I think they would have tried to win the game the same exact way with Russ, and Russ would be giving cliched answers after games about how the stats don't matter and you just got to find a way to win and grind it out every game. It'll be the same exact thing.
Wilson and Fields are pretty similar players in that they both are loath to go over the middle of the field. Wilson's always been that way. Fields really has been that way too since moment one. Wilson doesn't have the wheels. Fields never has had the wheels. The one difference is Wilson is a more accurate thrower overall and throws a gorgeous deep ball. But
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So does Field.
He's done great. He's done great. Excited to have him, you know, in the pocket, and he's done some great things. His confidence level is high, you know, like I said, and he's just playing ball. You know, you can tell from just watching him. You know, he feels comfortable, and he's playing really good.
Van Jefferson, who had a costly penalty that was a dubious call by the officials. Gene Steratore backed that up. On Justin Fields and the confidence that he's showing and praising him for a job well done. I'm guessing Russell Wilson wasn't near Van's locker stall when he made those comments after the game yesterday. We are here to serve you, giving our thoughts and hearing yours on a bunch of things from yesterday's Steelers game, a 13-6 win. Their touchdown output offensively is actually worse than Matt Canada's offense through two games. And how that makes you feel at 412-928-9370. The Broderick Jones benched before the game, brought in to rotate, which was a hilariously bad idea. And then it went so badly after six snaps, he was removed from the game because of three penalties. And Justin Fields, how you're feeling about him and how he should be treated by the Steelers coaching staff. Should he be looked at as a backup or as their starter moving forward? 412-928-9370. Let's talk to Anthony. He's on the fan. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Sure.
Real quick, that guy that called before, obviously he wasn't watching the same game we were. Justin Fields had four really good passes that I noticed. The touchdown to Washington, the call where we got the holding against Broderick with the one that he dropped in the Pickens, that was on a rope. And, he's getting better.
He had one on third. You're forgetting one. He had one on third and 11 in a true passing situation where Pickens beat Sertan badly, and he threw a laser beam. What's that, about 35 yards in the air from where he threw it to where it actually ended up? I mean, that was a bullet.
These guys got to learn to be patient. I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. We got to get used to winning some of these games ugly, but they're wins nonetheless.
Getting used to it. We've been winning games ugly for like 5 years,
Anthony. All we've known is ugly wins, man. I think the last pretty win they had came in like 2018. And
I can tell you exactly when that was. Thursday night against Carolina Panthers.
All they do, yeah, I remember that game. All they do is win one possession games.
Anthony, I'm a guy who's been impressed by Fields' abilities and like what he's shown he can do. I actually love the throw to Freiermuth too. That was a great touch throw for a guy that doesn't have a reputation for them. But what I'm trying to get to here is this:
that you would bench him for Russell Wilson as soon as he's healthy,
unless he plays
right now. Russell needs to get used to shining the pine with his rear.
No, Russ is out there with that
base. What was that?
Shining the pine with his rear.
Oh. He doesn't sit down during games. He's standing up in full uniform.
I was just going to say, he had the baseball cap. He had the full uniform. In fact, Kyle Allen's the backup. You don't even see him. He's anonymous, but Russ is right out there clapping and high-fiving. I will say this quickly. You can argue patience with Justin Fields because of he's damaged goods coming from Chicago. They're trying to get the most out of him, okay? If he remains your starting quarterback, let me stress this. You've got about 5 to 6 weeks where maybe in some of these games you can get away with him playing this way or putting up these numbers and you can still win because you've still got the Giants looming. You might be able to beat the Chargers this way. Hell, one of my high confidence picks, Pony, my money ball pick in our little picks that we do on our podcast page was the Colts laying points as a road team. You can maybe even flummox Anthony Richardson and go 4-0 with this guy as your starter. But eventually, the meat of that schedule comes around, and he is not going to win going 13 for 20, 117, and a touchdown.
Here is Ezra on the fan. Hello, Ezra.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
peace,
man.
And love to Steeler Nation.
Yes, absolutely. What do you got for us?
Man, with the Broderick situation, I think we need to understand he's only 23 years old, and it's nothing wrong with having a good backup situation. I think if we look at the left tackle problem, let's look at it like a relationship problem where maybe Dan Moore finally realized he needs to bring flowers and buy candies for his girlfriend, you know, because the Steelers went and got Broderick Jones. I think that put heat under Dan Moore. And I think Dan Moore, we got to go with the hand that's hot. And
it didn't put enough heat on Dan Moore last year because he sucked last year, Ezra.
No, but see, this is what I'm saying. I think the offseason really had an effect on Dan Moore. All I'm saying is if we go with the hot hand and let's say Dan Moore has one of those games, we know, then all of a sudden you bring in the kid. But he's only 23 years old. There's nothing wrong with a backup left tackle, just like they back in the day how they would have a backup.
You don't draft a backup left tackle with the 15th pick and trade up for him, Ezra.
You're right. But what I'm saying is we can revolutionize the way we treat a first-round pick.
Where now we're revolutionizing it to looking at them as good backups. We should have kept Kenny Pickett by that stretch and let him carry a clipboard here.
No, what I'm saying, fellas, I think it's more along the lines of maybe Broderick Jones isn't ready, but Dan Moore obviously is looking like he's ready. And
okay. Ezra, we don't even know if Broderick Jones is ready because they've given him like maybe 100 reps total across all practices at left tackle since he was drafted.
I refuse to believe that when the Steelers drafted Broderick Jones, they sat around and said, hey, this guy's got huge upside, but we might have to wait until year three for him to
be a quality
starting quarterback.
It's not a quarterback situation where you're sitting him behind. Like, Love is really the only situation I can think of where a guy sat for more than a year, and you used to only do that with quarterbacks, really, and they don't even do it now. Like, they put guys out there right away.
Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Right now it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by his friends at Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. For those who are unfamiliar, every day at 4:30, Donnie finds a big football story, and we kibitz about it. Don?
The Debrief, September 16, 2024. Yesterday at 1 p.m., we witnessed the most crowded window of the NFL for the entire 2024 season. 10 games in the 1 o'clock window. We got the rare Deca box if you were watching on Sunday Ticket. Scott Hansen very excited about the Deca box.
Wait, on Sunday Ticket or Red Zone? Because I had Sunday Ticket I could only quad box.
Red Zone.
Okay.
Sorry.
Deca box.
The Deca box made its very rare appearance. However, it does make me complain a little bit, which I don't like to do because we get NFL games every Sunday. Why can't there be, like, what is the rule against more balance between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m.?
Because
10 1 p.m. games and 3 games at 4?
They want the Fox and CBS, they're the big game with the big announcer crew. They want that going out for advertisers. They want that game going to the most people possible. They don't want, if there weren't teams that played their home games in the Mountain Time Zone and the Pacific Time Zone, or those teams were on the road, they would have put one game at 4:25 yesterday, and put 12 at 1. They want basically those games to be standalone games where the ratings are just bananas.
If that was,
well, that makes too much sense, and I hate it.
If that hypothetical was true, and there were 12 games at 1 o'clock, and then somehow one game at 4 o'clock, 4:25, would Hansen just be like, "Peace, I'm done"?
Yeah, because I had Red Zone on my second TV yesterday during the Steelers game.
Congratulations on your success.
And Red Zone
basically probably just showed you the other game.
Red Zone stinks because at 4 o'clock in a situation like that, because one game was a total blowout, Rams Cardinals, so they basically toggled back between two games for 3 hours. Steelers, Broncos, and Bengals, and Chiefs.
And Steelers, Broncos was a horrible football game for the majority.
I maintain 4:25 is the best time to play a football game.
In terms of, for me, I think it is.
I love when I just have carte blanche from 1 to 4 and can watch all those games and then settle into my game in the afternoon.
I mean, I made chili yesterday before the 1 o'clock game started. Then I retired to the basement. Ace took a late nap. And so it was just old Mulsey with the quad box. And then it was make your own quad box. You want to know something messed up, though, about my experience yesterday? I had Dallas, New Orleans on. And I'm not like you guys where I'm thinking who's doing the announcing on this. And I didn't even like hear Burkhart's voice to like trigger it. I was clearly listening to Brady do that game for a while, having no idea it was Tom Brady, just like zoned out and never cut through the noise. Like, this is Tom Brady calling a football game.
I have a confession to make. I didn't jump over to the Ravens game till the very, very end because Baltimore was winning for most of that game. And I just have a fetish, I guess you could call it, when it comes to watching the Cowboys suck. It is porn to me. Something about them just not just losing games, but being pounded and being beaten to a pulp.
Yeah, they got hammered.
I find it to be erotic.
2 years later, erotic. That Derek Carr MVP pick not looking so bad.
And I jumped off the bandwagon, too. I wasn't as high on Carr as you, Donnie, but
Donnie broke
I love
both ankles jumping off that bandwagon. It was so high. It was R.I.P. Sid Vicious. It was a psycho Sid landing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, can they, like, even a little bit more, though? I mean, three
was
games.
Was Brady, I heard, because I read, I forget where it was. It was just a media, like, criticism site. It wasn't awful announcing. But Brady got much better reviews, I noticed, from people for his performance in that game. They said he was way more enthusiastic, like, did some deep dive stuff on the Saints offense and why it was going to be a problem for Dallas.
So that latter point might be true, that he was able to articulate better and had way more energy.
Mm-hmm.
Points that he did in his pregame study and then taking them onto the broadcast. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
My issue still remains this. He is not good yet at telling us why things happen.
So essentially, teach me something new about the game I am watching.
It's not even teach me. It's tell me why this worked. Tell me why this didn't work. Collinsworth, for as much as he's a caricature of himself with the, like, here's a guy and, you know, all that business that he does.
Sliding in on his little rolling stool. He understands how to tell you
that. He is really good at, here's why this play got blown up.
I think Collinsworth is a lot better than what he's given credit for. People just assume, oh, he hates my team, so he sucks.
That's how you know he's good. Everyone says that
about
him.
They need to start getting more involved. Here's why this offense isn't working against this defensive look. He does all of those things very well. He annoys the hell out of me, but he is very good at those things.
Well, you know what Brady does?
Brady hasn't done any of that through two games.
It sounds like, if I'm guessing correctly here, and I think I am, it sounds like Brady tells you things you can already see with your own eyes, maybe gives you extra detail. But Collinsworth usually tells you, like, he'll notice, like, the left guard missing a block or something like that.
Yes.
And, like, that's why a play gets blown up that might not be readily available to the naked eye. Or he'll say, like, so-and-so did not have the correct, like, technique or leverage here. And it sounds like Brady hasn't gotten to that point yet, which is funny because I would wager that Brady knows way more about that stuff than Collinsworth just because of how long he played and what he had to do.
He's not a natural at it. As much as he is also, I think, gotten considerably worse since he started, Romo was a natural at it. Romo was better day one than he is now.
Well, Romo at least had the one thing that I'll say I always empathized with him, although he screwed around and clearly didn't feel like prepping after he had gotten far enough away, removed from the league, to not just know all the tendencies. The little trick where he would call the play out before it happened and would be right almost every single time.
Awesome.
It was amazing. It did not remotely detract from my enjoyment of those games. And the suits at CBS, from my understanding, got enough complaints about, like, he literally is too good at that. They told him to stop doing it.
But I also don't think he has that in his bag anymore.
No, because I just said he's been out of the NFL so long. When he was literally not months removed from playing, basically, or a year removed, he knew what every team was still doing out of certain looks. The problem is he hasn't done homework ever. And so now oh my God, Jim! Jim, wow!
Well, so that's
a double rainbow, Jim!
That's where I think if Brady can at least figure it out from the broadcasting standpoint, we know the work ethic for the guy. I mean, it's like unheralded, so that he could eventually become worth that investment. But I mean, early returns, Not good.
No, not anywhere close to as good as Greg Olsen was.
Just a quick, very quick bonus. You guys remember the story about David Tepper taking the guy's hat off in that restaurant or whatever?
Uh-huh.
You know, people got mad at him.
Or how about throwing a drink,
at somebody? Dilworth Neighborhood Grill in Charlotte has a sign, like one of those little gas station signs outside the restaurant. Mayfield, 2-0. Darnold, 2-0. Rule, 3-0. Young, 0-2. What is David Tepper? What vengeance will David Tepper wreak against the Dilworth Neighborhood Grill?
He's gonna buy the restaurant and then, like, just blow it up.
He might just empty the building and call in an airstrike.